It's a little after 11. We're going to redeem the time, and we pray that that we can redeem it in our lives, not just in the way we conduct our condense the church service to a degree. Praise God. Amen. How many are glad today that you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus? I know that sounds like a rhetorical question, but how many are really glad? I mean, really glad that you've been redeemed. Now, I didn't get a chance to survey the audience. I was looking up at the monitor, trying to follow the words and do my little bit in singing, maybe some of the high parts. I can still hit them on a good day, and this is probably a good day because I didn't miss them too far. But sometimes I empathize with the minister who said, if you're happy, notify your face, because he was looking at so many people that didn't seem to have the real joy in serving the Lord. And we're going to receive our offering, sister, if you'll get ready, because happy people probably do better in offerings than unhappy. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, but I always add this to that, but he will receive from a grouch. Amen. He can't bless you for it because it's given grudgingly, but we will be glad to receive it. Can you say amen? Someone, a big gambler out in Las Vegas, gave $1 million to Oral Roberts University, and they criticized him for accepting the $1 million. And his answer was very, very concise and clear and short, not big theological discourse. He just said, we've seen what the devil can do with it. Now let's see what God can do with it. Can you say amen? He didn't promise that the man would be blessed, but it would be a blessing. We would receive. By the way, if you gambled and received the lottery, we would gladly receive the tithe. I just thought I'd run that by you. I don't want you to. I'm not telling you to do that. Don't. Because they used to ask me all the time at work. They thought if they told me that they would give to the church, that God would give them an edge to win the lottery. And that's not how you receive blessings, by the roll of the dice. It's not like that. But when it would get real big, people would approach me. And they'd say, Rev, come here. Back when I had a career with Winn-Dixie production. Anyway, they would say, Rev, come here. If I win the lotto, I'm going to build a church for you. And I'd say, oh, well, that'd be great. Amen. I'm going to get your address. And if you do win, I'm going to be at your house. Can you say amen? I'm going to be first in line because you made a promise. And amen. But they thought if they made some kind of deal like that, you know, to give like $1 million so we could put up a little bitty building out here, that God would give them the edge, and they don't understand how the kingdom works. It doesn't work that way by making deals with God. But I'll tell you something that does work in the kingdom. It's a kingdom principle of sowing and reaping. It starts in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, from the rising of the sun to the going down. As time rolls on, 24-hour days keep rolling on, seed time and harvest is going to remain. It's something that is consistent. Everything else is kind of up and shaking, but there's one thing that isn't: seed time and harvest. Can you say amen? How many know that's a law that is consistent? So the Bible said if you sow liberally, you reap liberally. And if you sow sparingly, I got one here somewhere. Let me see. Look like I'm going to have to sow some more. Huh? Can you say amen? I'm serious about it. If you sow liberally, you reap liberally. And not just in the monetary alone, but we reap in so many other ways. Because sowing liberally is not just how much you give, it's how you give. Can you say amen? Well, I can see the joy is just here today. You brought it in with you. So many people, some of you have got it and some of you need it. And maybe before this service is over that you can notify your face about how happy you are about being saved. Can you say amen? You know what Vance Havner said about his congregation? I'll say it about his congregation, not this one, because y'all are smiling now, so I can't say it about you, and I wouldn't anyway, not in front of you. But anyway, amen. But Vance Havner said, I've seen happier faces on iodine bottles. Now, I don't know if you remember the old iodine bottles or not, but there was a skull and crossbones on there. He said, I've seen happier faces, and he admitted that he had a long face himself. He said, look at me. He said, if you just look at me, he said, because he was such a super serious preacher and he had those furrows in his brow. And he said, if you look at me, you would not think that I had any joy, but you would be very, very wrong. Amen. He said, it's the joy of the Lord that strengthens me and keeps me preaching the gospel, because so many people quote him, but not too many people want him to preach for them. Because he said things like I just said, amen. And he said some things that were really pointed, and he told the truth from the pulpit about the condition of the church and the need for revival. And a lot of people don't want to hear about the condition of the church because it incriminates Christians, amen. And we don't like to be put on the spot like that. But if we're ever going to have a revival, we're going to have to embrace a truth that incriminates us. We shouldn't be anything in this word shouldn't bother you and me if we believe in Jesus Christ and believe on him. Amen. But I'm glad to say today that the joy of the Lord is still available. And the joy of your salvation. That's what David was saying. He's talking about God's deliverance. Well, you've been delivered on a far greater level and scale than David was. Amen. He was delivered from physical death. You have been delivered from spiritual, eternal death and separation from God. And that is a cause for... Listen, the lame man got a bone healed in his leg, bones in his leg strengthened. He went into the temple. How did he go into the temple showing appreciation for what God had done for him? He went in running, leaping, and praising God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is not running and leaping just out of mere emotionalism. This is based on something that God is currently doing in our life. Praise God. He's answering prayer, he's delivering, he's coming through, and we give him the honor and the glory. And if I don't quit, I'm going to preach before the offering, and we... Thank you, Father. I want you to know the power of praise when it comes from a grateful heart, saith God. And yea, what I'm willing to do, yea, even lavish upon you. Amen. What I'm willing to give unto you of my hand, if you will praise me for the things that I have already done for you, then you will see the mighty things that I will do for you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Jesus, for verifying this sermon before it's even preached today. Glory be to God. If God's people, my people, called by my name, not only humble themselves and pray, but shake themselves and praise him. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God with a greatly grateful heart. The Bible said in Psalm 50, if you order your conversation aright, and the entire psalm is about worshiping God and thanking him from the heart. Amen. And not just going through ritualistic religion. Amen. And he said, if you'll do that, he said, I'll show them my salvation. We'll see God's deliverance again in God's people, in our families, in our lives, in God's house. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I talked to a bunch of preachers, and we'll receive the offering in just a minute. Stand by. Can you stand right there? Can you keep smiling while you stand? All right. Praise God. Amen. There was about 50 pastors gathered, and I got to say a few words. And you know your preacher can't say a few words. Can you say amen? They asked me to say a few words. I shouldn't have even got up. I should have told them, no, it's okay. I defer to someone else. Can you say amen? I don't have a few words to say about what God is doing. I just don't have, I can't put it into a paragraph. Amen. If you get me talking about what God's doing and you want me to tell others about fervency of prayer and frequency of prayer and what God is doing in answer to prayer. My son just celebrated his 6-month anniversary of free after 3 decades of alcoholism. Amen. And free from liver disease and free from hepatitis, praise God, and free from sin's dread sway. Praise God. Free from Satan's kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. 6-month anniversary of freedom in Jesus Christ. And they asked me to say a few words. I don't have a few words to say. So I'm going to kind of exempt myself from those few word time compressed things because there's no point in it. I wouldn't even barely get started. It'd take me at least 10 minutes, not 3 minutes. So they did tell me, they said, well, maybe next time we'll tell you you have 30 seconds. And then that way you'll probably give 5 minutes. But they enjoyed the testimony, and they said, no, you obey the Holy Spirit. And they gave me the privilege of taking a little bit longer to brag on Jesus. Amen. We need some current things. We can preach about what happened on the shores of Galilee 2,000 years ago, what happened, amen, in the lives of the prophets and Abraham way back, and you know, thousands of years ago now, plural, amen. But we need some current evidence that God is still on the throne. He still is in covenant with his people. He still hears and answers prayer today. Can you say amen? Well, we're seeing that. And if I don't have joy this morning over some circumstance other than these things, I've often said it, and I want to take it to my own heart. Nobody can do anything to me that's worse than to offset what God has done for me. I'm not going to dwell on what somebody does to me. I'm going to dwell on what he has done for me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Because what he's done for me ought to be so much greater than what anybody can do to me that should be just a little bump in the road. Just get over it. Praise God. Deal with it. And deal with it in praise. Amen? Everybody say praise God anyhow. You're going to preach my message if y'all don't hush. Amen. Sister, we're going to receive the offering this morning. I want you to do your best because we need your best. And not only do we need your best to meet our obligations because we're so small, God needs your best in order to bless you. Thank you for the hearty amen. Amen. In order to bless you, he doesn't need your leftovers. He needs your best. The Bible said to honor the Lord. This is all about honor. It's not about just a financial transaction. It's about honoring God. And the Bible said, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of your increase, and then your barns shall be filled and burst forth with fatness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So that's just God's generosity. He didn't have to add those blessings. We owe him everything. Can you say amen? But he's a generous God and a gracious God, and he has determined to bless us. Praise the Lord. And my tail may not be long enough to keep this thing going today. We'll get synchronized if we can. If not, I'll get another microphone. I've never wanted to take an offering in my life. We receive offerings, and this is an opportunity to invest in the work of the kingdom, because the sermon that you're going to hear primarily to you is not going to stop with you. It's going to be put on the air. It's going to go through the airwaves. It's going to be heard on the computer. And I was so grateful. Well, I'm going to have to change mics, I guess, because I don't think that every time I move, it barks at me. But it goes on the airwaves. And we had, what was it? How many downloads? You sent me an email about that, a minister of media. I think it was 12 downloads of one particular, Yeah, Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast. We had 12 downloads from our website it was last week's broadcast, Come Unto Me, the life-changing power of the gospel. And we had 12 downloads of that particular one the week after it went on radio. So I'm convinced that people are not just hearing it in North Florida, because I don't know if there's 12 people in Madison. Don't let them hear me say that. Amen. It's a little town in North Florida. But we know that we're having people come, and we're having downloads from China. We're having downloads from Korea. We're having downloads from Washington, D.C. I know Mr. Obama's got great problems, and he needs great answers. And so we're glad. She laughing. She don't have the faith that Doug has. Doug wrote me an email and said, wouldn't it be something if the president is downloading from our website? Well, wouldn't that be something? Amen. It would be something. You know what I'm thrilled about? I'm thrilled that we're having hits from all over the country. Amen. From Hollywood, California. Amen. Hollywood, California. From Washington, D.C., Virginia, Korea. Several downloads from Korea. Many downloads not too long ago from China, where the church is under heavy, heavy persecution. But God is moving in great and grand revival simultaneously. So we're glad that we've been on the air now. We went on the air in 2007. We're headed for 2011. I don't know when the month we went on, but we're probably 3 years into the radio broadcast, and we've been faithful, and God is going to make us fruitful. Can you say amen? Faithfulness equates to fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. Amen. If you abide in me, faithfulness, and my word abides in you consistently. Amen. You shall ask what you will, and what's going to happen? It will be granted unto thee. Can you say, man, I've spoken these things to you. He went on to say that my joy might be in you so that your joy might be full. And there's a joy in answered prayer that is not like the joy that just comes when you get a dose of the Holy Ghost on Sunday morning or Sunday night. Amen. There's a joy that comes when God comes through. Amen. Hallelujah. When God turned, when God did something that can only be attributed to God in answer to prayer and repentance in Israel, it said when God turned the captivity of Zion. Hallelujah. When God did something in to show his power and might to keep his covenant and express his love to his covenant people, when God did something big, when God did something beautiful and powerful like that, then was our tongues filled with song and our mouth was filled with laughter. Can you say amen? When God turn the captivity of Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. The fullness of joy, there's no experience in the Holy Ghost that can give you the fullness of joy until God answers prayer. Amen. And God comes through and God shows up and God delivers. Hallelujah. Amen. Spoken these things to you that my joy might be in you so that your joy might be full. If you abide, what did he speak to them? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. Can you say, man, God will come through. So we're celebrating 6 months of sobriety after almost 30 years of acute alcoholism because God came through. My son's daughter grew up with a daddy that drank every night of his life, as far back as she can remember, my granddaughter and his daughter. And she said, I want to do something for my daddy for this 6 months, because she knew where he was and she's seeing where God has brought him to. Amen. And I'm looking for this testimony to run through my family, my kids, amen, my grandkids and my great-grandkids. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm looking for it to just take off through the family. Praise the Lord. Because God has done a wonderful work in answer to prayer. Hallelujah. So I'm excited about prayer. That's why when they asked me to stand up and take 2 or 3 minutes, and I can't do it. I can't even do it. I'm supposed to take 2 minutes and then receive the offering. She's still standing there. She's even still smiling. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because she loves her pastor. And she knows the way he is. Amen. And she loves me anyway. Praise God. Yeah. Yes. We're getting away from doing the very things that would allow God, by faith and obedience, to allow God to show up and to show out. Can you say amen? I got to tell you that testimony. We received the offering. I'll be brief. This is part of the sermon. I guarantee you it's going to segue right into what God wants us to hear today. Amen. But a man I worked with, and I love him with all of my heart. He's a fellow Christian. There wasn't too many of them where I worked at the time. And I remember that his wife became gravely ill with one of those infections that they couldn't, it was a raging infection that they couldn't bring under control with anything that they did. She got worse. She got near comatose, but she would every now and then open her eyes and become lucid. I remember when he took a day off to go and pray for her, ask us to pray with him for her. Amen. And he went and he said he took the anointing oil, amen, that you were talking about, took a little bottle of anointing oil. He took the Bible. He said he'd opened it up to that scripture that was quoted, and he took it and he sat down and read it to his wife. He anointed her with oil. Amen. He prayed the prayer of faith. Amen. And that's not just about how big it is, because if you had faith, amen, faith is in the Lord, amen, and in His Word, praise God. And if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could, and it was in the will of God, and you discovered the will of God, amen, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed, and doubt not in your heart that what you just said was going to happen, because God is going to come through, and God is going to move by His Spirit upon that mountain. Can you say amen? It isn't really mountain moving faith. It's a mountain moving God that you have faith in. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know you don't need a mountain of faith to see a mountain move? You just need a God who's able to move the mountain. And we have that kind of God who told Zerubbabel, the mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, a mere molehill. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. He came back from the hospital, amen, and you know what he said? He said his wife's eyes opened up, and from that moment in time, she began to recover, and the doctors never did find out what it was totally. They never could treat it, but you know what? He came back with that big smile, that big Jesus grin. Amen. I don't mean Jesus grin just because we're Christian, but Jesus grin because in His name, God answers prayer. Hallelujah. He came back with that God has come through look on His face. And when He came back, instead of looking worried and concerned and asking for more intercession, I said, well, what happened at the hospital? Because I wanted to hear the testimony. He said, He said, I took the word of God, I read it to my wife, I anointed her with oil, I prayed the prayer of faith, and he said, and God showed up and God showed out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Woo! I'm going to have him come preach for us. Anybody that says God showed up and God showed out is getting answers to prayer. And that's exactly what we've been talking about. Praise the Lord. When God shows up, He's going to show us His glory. I would rather see that my wife healed that was at the knocking at the door of death. I'd rather see her healed and raised up in the name of my God glorified than to see the pillar of fire appear right now. Can you say amen? Oh, yeah. I'd rather see God show me His glory. I'd rather see Him show me His glory by delivering people, setting them free, saving the lost. Amen. Delivering the captive. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Would you rather see somebody saved than to see a pillar of fire and go, ooh, ah, they were led by a pillar of fire, but it didn't get them into the promised land. It didn't get all the doubt and unbelief out of them, did it? They saw all of that and went, ooh, ah. But when it came down to the obstacles in the way, they did the same thing. Ooh, ah. Amen. But when God comes through, when He parted the Red Sea, hallelujah, and then He parted Jordan, He parted the Red Sea to get them out, He parted the Jordan River to get them in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes when God comes through. Hallelujah. Amen. I can tell God is coming through in so many lives. The joy is almost unrestrained. But we'll try to keep you. We're going to have to put straps on these seats. Just seat belts. So I can get through with the ministry this morning. Praise God. Yes, Brother Venable, take a few seconds and tell us what God is doing in your life. Oh, the church is so used, amen, to watching the old clock and taking a few seconds and, amen, starting at 11 o'clock sharp and ending at 12 o'clock dull. Can you say amen? It's an incredible thing that we have a God like this, and we got to receive the offering. Thank you, sister. God bless your heart. What would we do about the devout women? Amen. Would you bow your head? The Lord loves a cheerful giver, and we thank you for your attitude and what you're doing for Jesus Christ and helping us to do today over the radio and in this room right here. Father, bless this offering, gift and giver, as we receive it to the glory and the honor of our great King and His work. And everyone said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bible, there's a verse of Scripture that's been on my heart for about 3 weeks, and I just got permission this morning, early this morning, to minister just a little while on it. much of you know that doesn't mean a lot. Amen. But we're going to try to move right along. We realize time is short here today. But we've been ministering all along the way. And I heard my wife out here doing some good preaching as well. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We want to see God's people free to serve Him. Not just free to do what we please, but to do what God wills. Praise God. The reason He got them out of Egypt is so they could worship Him in the wilderness. Can you not just go their way and do their thing? Amen. But as they worshiped Him, He led them to the promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey. That kingdom being first allowed God to bless them with exceeding blessings. So I want to talk about the people that know that joyful sound today. And let's read out of Psalm 89, verse 15 and 16 for just a few moments. I have a personal walk with God, and I have a personal testimony in the Lord. And I'm so glad I don't have to use what God did back in the old and even the beginning of the new covenant over 2,000 years ago as a point of reference, amen, for what God is able to do in hearts and lives and in your heart and life today. I'm glad things are still happening. I'm glad I'm still living in Bible days. I meet with ministers all the time, and every minister I meet with can bring a message biblically about what God does in response to our faith, our faithfulness, our prayers, our obedience, and how He comes through time and time again. And we've got a history here in the Word of God being faithful and God coming through. Please focus on Him right now and not them or anyone else. Your mind will go wandering. You're going to miss something that may be vital. You may be a person in a hospital someday needing, amen, to join your faith with someone for deliverance. Don't let the devil cause you to focus on others at this moment. We're here today at this point in time. There are others that are not here, but we're here today at this point in time, and we're in this place to receive something from the Lord. Can you say amen? Listen to what the Scripture says. And it starts with blessed. Verse 15 of Psalm 89 says, blessed are the people. You're going to find that word blessed all throughout the entire Old Testament. Blessed or blessed. You know what blessed means in the Hebrew? Happy to be envied. Can you say amen? Say it with me again. Happy to be envied. Happy to be envied. I want to just start with happy for a minute. Praise God. Amen. The Bible says happy are the people whose God is the Lord. They're blessed. And that's why they're happy. I'll guarantee you, if the blessing ever gets through to you, you're going to be happy with it. Amen. I want to say something about happy, though. Happiness is not based on happenings alone. It's based on the knowledge that no matter what happens, God is for you. And God is faithful. There are times when I have every opportunity to be unhappy because of a happening. But no matter what happens, God is for me. And no matter what happens, God is for you. And what more? What should be our answer? What more shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And the God who is for us, the Bible said, for we know we need this solidified and crystallized down in our hearts. For we know that all things, all of those happenings that can happen to people in faulty bodies in a fallen world. How many know you live in a faulty body? How many realize it isn't glorified yet? How many realize you live in a fallen world? In this world, you shall have some happenings that are not going to make you happy if you just depend on them alone, those happenings. In this world, you'll have thelpsis, tribulation, pressure, anguish, similar to the word that Jesus used in the Olive Garden. And I'm not talking about the restaurant. I'm talking about Gethsemane. Amen. When Jesus went to the Olive Garden, we go to our Olive Garden, it's different from His, isn't it? In Gethsemane, it was an olive press. Gethsemane means olive and press and oil and press. It had to do with the pressure that he was under, where he sweat great drops of blood. But in spite of that happening that was coming, not just the cross, but becoming sin who knew no sin, not a sinner, but counted as a sinner, that he might die and take the punishment and be punished as a sinner so that we could go free. For the joy, when he came out of that garden, it said for the joy, in another portion of scripture, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross while despising the shame. The pressure is inescapable because you live in a faulty body and we live in a fallen world. And there is no level of faith that you can attain to change this world from fallen. And you cannot arrive at a level of faith that you can change your body from faulty. I went to a meeting years and years ago when Oral Roberts was young. And I was even younger. Amen. But I went to this meeting in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And there was this huge hotel rented. It was so beautiful because it sits up overlooking the rest of Gatlinburg. And it's round. It's completely round. And so you come out on your balcony. You look straight down into the foyer. And I remember that night a man took a trumpet. We're going to talk about trumpets in a minute. And he took a trumpet. It was a Phil Driscoll. He came out after the first meeting was over, and he came out and played a praise song unto God on the trumpet from one of those balconies, and everybody, all the Christians that had come for that service, came out and stood on those circular things, you know, and everybody just come out and lifted their hands and praised God spontaneously. One of the highlights of the whole meeting. Well, Oral Roberts was supposed to be one of the speakers, and he was, of course, going to speak on healing, God's delivering and healing power. But he couldn't come because he had the flu. Everybody say, wow. Listen. We live in a fallen world. And these bodies are not yet glorified. Can you say amen? People got so afraid of admitting their humanity. One guy that's kind of into the hyper faith level, you know, he was sneezing and somebody looked at him like, you know, you're always don't confess. And they wanted to know what he would say when they asked him this question. Amen. They said, how are you doing today? He honked and blew and said, I'm being healed of a cold. Well, that's all well and good. But you got it or you wouldn't need to be healed of it. Wouldn't it be terrible if David went out and used that attitude when the giant is standing right there saying, I'm going to whack your head off. And David said, what giant? I don't see no giant. No, he looked him dead in the eye. They asked him, they said, have you seen the size of this man? And David said, I've slain the lion. And I've slain the bear. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? And then when he stood before him a distance away, he said, you come to me with sword and shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. That's how you deal with your giants. You don't do it by denying they're there. You do it by acknowledging that the God that you serve is greater than the giant that you face. Can you say amen? They told David, he's too big to hit. And David told them, with God, he's too big to miss. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed. Happy to be envied. Somebody with the victory. Somebody that knows their God. They that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. I guarantee you start getting your prayers answered, you're going to be happy. Amen. And when they ask you to take 2 or 3 minutes and tell what God is doing for you, you'll say, forget about it. Either turn me loose or leave me sitting here. But don't try to, give me, what was that song from Oklahoma? Give me land, lots of land, under sunny skies above, don't fence me in. Can you say, man? I don't want to be fenced in. Praise God. Amen. Well, I try to apologize for taking 10 minutes instead of 3, but I really shouldn't be having to apologize. Because you know what they need to hear when the preachers get together? They need to hear the joyful sound. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Blessed, happy to be envied are the people who know what? What sound? The joyful sound. Can you say amen? The joyful sound. When Israel, amen, was taken captive, and this was corrective judgment. God didn't want to destroy them, but he was correcting them so he could bring them back and restore them. And when he allowed them to go into captivity through chastisement, corrective judgment, on their way down into Babylon, they took their instruments and their harps and they hung them on the limbs of the willow tree. And when they got down into Babylon, the first thing their captors wanted from them, they were so excited about all of these Jewish slaves coming down because they wanted a concert. Amen? They said, we would hear what? What were they notorious for? That even the heathen and the pagans, amen, knew there was something that they were notorious for. We would hear what from you? A song from you. Can you say amen? Someone said when those feasts of the Jews, when they had them, that no, you had never known joy unless you had been to one of their feasts before the Lord. The Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles. What were they praising God for? The atonement. They were praising God that judgment wasn't going to come, that grace was going to flow. Was there grace in the Old Testament? Oh yeah, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Israel found grace, not on the level of the New Covenant, but there was grace back there because an offering was offered to the sins of the people and judgment was averted. And there was a great feast after that in the blowing of the trumpets. Hallelujah. We would hear a song of thee. How can we sing the Lord's song? They refused to sing it in a strange land. Can you say amen? There's so many Christians in the world today that just go to church, but they live by the world's values, the world's standard. They can't enter into the kind of praise that God is talking about here. Amen. And nothing in the world is ever going to make them happy. And I don't envy them. I don't care how the square footage of their house. I don't care if they're driving an Escalade. I don't care if they're wearing a Rolex. I don't envy them unless they have the peace and the power of God's kingdom reigning in their life. Amen. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, you ain't got nothing I want. You said, but God showed me something in a dream. Well, did he show you yourself? The man in the mirror, Michael Jackson said. Can you say amen? Any man that hears my word and doesn't do it, he's like a man that beheld his real face, his natural face, in a mirror and walked away and forgot what manner of man that he was. Can you say amen? You know what the word of God's going to do? It's going to hold up a mirror to show you the real you. And God would like, amen, the real you to be really happy, really victorious, because and really having the peace of God reigning in your life. They asked Rolling Stone magazine, which I don't read, but this quote was quoted from Rolling Stone magazine a few years ago, that Brad Pitt was having an interview, and he was one of the, you know, voted one of the sexiest men of that year. So Rolling Stone wanted to do an interview, world's sexiest man or handsomest man. They don't use handsome anymore, sexiest man, whatever. And if Brad hadn't have got it, I'd have been right in there on Rolling Stone. My wife said he should be there. Listen, they said, what? They started asking about his life. His personal life. Everybody want to know about his personal, not his professional life, his personal life. And someone made a statement. He said, people come up to me all the time and say, you've got it made. You're handsome. You're young. You have any starlet in Hollywood. You get $20 million for a movie. You got more money than you can ever spend. You haven't lost your looks. You're healthy. You don't have a disease. You're the hot item in Hollywood. He said, people say, you must have it made. And you know what he said? He said, I don't even know what it is. But he said, I know that I have not found it. And he said, but I hope that someday that I might discover it. See, there's nothing that can replace what you and I have in Jesus Christ today. There's nothing in Hollywood. Amen. Bill Gates with his billions don't have what you have. And how do you know? Because Bill Gates was asked about religion. You know what Bill Gates had to say? He's worth over $50 billion. You know what he had to say? He said, in the sheer allocation of time, I don't have time for religion. He doesn't have what we have. Don't envy, Bill. My son, let not thine heart envy sinners, neither go thou after them. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible said if we don't know how to use money and how to keep it in its proper perspective and place, how shall we be able to handle the true riches? Can you say amen? The true riches is not the car you drive. How much is in your bank account? The true riches is what's down in your heart, down in your soul. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not something you can gratify your flesh with. Can you say amen? The kingdom of God is righteousness. When you're right with God, there's a boldness and a courage to face life with anything that happens. Can you say amen? And it produces, amen, peace. Hallelujah. Not just peace like the world has. Jesus said, the peace I'm going to give you, this kingdom peace, is not like the world gives. Amen. It's a peace, the Bible says, that passes all understanding. Praise God. Peace with God brings the peace of God. It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. See, I'm Pentecostal, so when I saw joy in the Holy Ghost, I thought about one of those liver shivers on Sunday morning. I thought about one of those goose pimples on top of my goose pimples. But I found out in research and personal walk with God that the joy in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is the mediator of the presence of Jesus Christ. When he comes, he will not speak of himself. He's going to testify me. Can you say amen? He's going to validate, verify my presence in your life. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. Can you say amen? He's the mediator of a fellowship relationship with God the Father and God the Son. They had it, and it produced a joy that was unquenchable. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's in the context of repenting and renewing a fellowship relationship with Jehovah. Wasn't just a liver shiver. Amen. So blessed is the people, happy to be envied, that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name they shall rejoice all the day. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible said in the New Testament? Always making melody, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, always making melody in your heart to the Lord. Don't ever let the devil steal your song. Remember when Chuck Swindoll told about Chippy the parakeet? Chippy, the real parakeet, real true story. Lady said, and it was just in the early days when they got the Freedom phones before the cell phone. Remember when you got the cordless phones first time? They're big, cumbersome things, but you could walk around and talk on it. She was vacuuming, and the phone rung. Vacuuming in the living room, and the phone rung. And she said, you know, she had this parakeet, and he loved to sing. From daylight to dark, the bird just wouldn't shut up. He just loved, Chippy loved to sing. You couldn't hardly talk on the phone for Chippy, but she was vacuuming. Oh, Chippy's singing, and the phone rings. She picked up the Freedom phone, and somebody on there was asking him some questions, and she was vacuuming at the same time. She took off the attachment on the end of it because she wanted to vacuum Chippy's cage. So she opened the cage, and Chippy backs up in the corner, and she's vacuuming and talking on the phone and going around the bottom of the cage, and comes up, and Chippy got sucked in to the hose, went up through the hose into the vacuum bag. She looked up, and she heard this big whoosh, and realized, I've sucked Chippy up into the vacuum. And she went and took it out, and with all the dust and everything, this little dusty, dirty, half-choked, you know, bird is in that bag. She gets him out of the bag and runs him to the sink and turns on the water wide open and puts him under it to get all the dust off of it. Now he's about to half drown. He's got dust down in his, and he's... And she took him back in, apologized, and put him back on his perch. And she said, Chuck, Chippy don't sing much anymore. Can you say amen? Honey, I've had days like that. I have had days that I can identify with Chippy. Have you ever had a Chippy day when you get up and something happens and makes you feel like you've been jerked through a knothole backwards? Can you say amen? And you know what we generally do, what Chippy did? We just don't sing much anymore. Amen. We just don't praise him like we should anymore. We just don't. Amen. Listen. But God rejoices, amen, in the joyful sound. God honors the joyful sound at midnight. Amen. In the condition they were in, Paul and Silas prayed, and the joyful sound was heard in that prison. Not just the mournful sound of, oh Lord, why does all this happen to us? No, the joyful sound was heard. They prayed and they sang praises unto God. And it wasn't while they were praying, it's while they were praising that an earthquake shook that thing. The door sprung open and they walked out of the prison house. Can you say amen? You can walk out of your prison house of fear. You can walk out of your prison house of depression. You can walk out of your prison of discouragement. But you're going to have to praise God. Hallelujah, anyhow. Because he's God. And he's good. And he's faithful. And he's able to make everything work together for good to them that love him and are the called according to his eternal purpose. Hallelujah. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk in the light of your countenance. In thy name they shall rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength. And in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Amen. I love that scripture. It said he will exalt thy horn like the unicorn. That's always a figurative of power. The very power of God will be available to you and to me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. For the Lord is our defense. The Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in the vision to thy Holy One and said, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Praise God. Well, it just goes on and on. But let me go to a Bible commentary and read you about the joyful sound just a little bit for just a few moments. It said, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. And it says, of the trumpet sounded in token of joy at the great festivals of the Jews. And chiefly on the first day of the seventh month, the Feast of Trumpets, Leviticus 23:24, and on extraordinary occasions, especially after the yearly atonement, on the day of Jubilee, the 10th day of the 7th month of the 15th year, proclaiming liberty to bondmen and restoration of their inheritance to them that had forfeited it. Leviticus 25:8-10, as the Jubilee joy did not come till after the atonement, so no gospel joy and liberty are ours till we first know Christ as our atonement. In the day of the people's gladness, they blew the trumpets over their sacrifices, that they might be unto them a memorial before God. Numbers 10:10. David and Israel brought up the ark of the Lord unto Zion with shouting with the voice of the trumpet. 2 Samuel 6:15. In Numbers 23:21, Balaam makes it the distinguishing glory of Israel, because he said, the Lord is God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! You can always tell whether a church is being revived or needs revival. One of the great revivalists of old, I think it was Finney, he said there's never been a revival in human history that wasn't marked with victorious, joyful singing. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Can you say amen? When God turned the captivity, when God turned the captivity of Zion, then was our hearts filled with song, our tongues filled with laughter. Can you say amen? When God came through, praise God. Hallelujah. God honors that kind of stuff. Andrew Murray said, joy is always the evidence that something really satisfies me and has great value for me. Joy, more than anything else, recommends its cause to others. And joy in God is the strongest proof that I have in God what satisfies and satiates me. It shows that I do not serve Him with dread or remain faithful only because He's my salvation. Joy is the mark of truth, the worth of obedience, and shows whether I have pleasure in the will of God. It is for this reason that joy in God is so acceptable unto Him, so strengthening to believers themselves and to all who are exposed to it, the most eloquent testimony of what we think of God. You can give people your theology all day long, but you worship Him with a joyful heart, they're going to know exactly what you think of your God. And if you don't have a joyful witness and a joyful testimony and a joyful heart, I remember back when I was still working and preaching, I remember going down into that locker room, down to the end of it, at the change of the shifts. You got everybody there, the people going home and the people coming in or in there trying to interact together and change that shift. I was on the other side of a long line of lockers way down at the end. And I didn't realize it. I wasn't consciously doing it, but I came to work happy. I played the songs of praise on the way to work. I prayed before I went to work. Amen. I acknowledged the Lord and His goodness. So I went in different than most people. I think it was a Monday morning. Amen. People that partied all weekend are not happy at work on Monday. Can you say amen? For you to be happy on Monday, they take note of that. So I was on the other end of the lockers, and I was just whistling a tune. I'm not even sure it was Christian. One thing I am sure, it was happy. Can you say amen? That's one thing. Amen. It was happy. The Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, God honors this stuff, folks. He loves to hear this. Hallelujah. Amen. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Can you, listen. So anyway, I was just making melody in my heart. I started whistling. I'm not a good whistler. Amen. And so I was just doing that. And I heard, who is that over on the other side? So happy. Because it was bothering them that someone was happy on Monday and they weren't. And I didn't have to answer. Somebody else down at the other end said, oh, that's the Rev down there. He's got that deep, settled peace within. I thought, there you go. I don't have to do nothing. Just whistle. Just be happy. Just showing my countenance that having God in your life makes a difference. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The devil would love to steal our song. He would love to take the joyful sound from the church. Can you say amen? But Israel was famous, notorious for the way they worshiped their God. Hallelujah. Because of the covenant things that He had done in their behalf. They gave Him praise. They gave Him honor. They gave Him all of the glory. I'm going to just read some quick scriptures to you in a testimony before we stop this morning. How many would like this church to be a church that we know the joyful sound? Can you say amen? It's so easy to go the other way. Psalm 33, 1 through 4 says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Praise skillfully with a loud voice. Somebody said, Brother Venable, God isn't deaf. And I'm going to say to you, He's not nervous either. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Psalm 57, 7 through 9. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Psalm 66, 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Why? Because God is great and he's... Oh, yeah. Come on. Come on. God is great and he is greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I believe that's what happened at Jericho. It wasn't just a shout. It was a shout of praise. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And on the seventh time around, on the seventh day, amen, he told them, shout, for God has given you the city. The Bible said, and they shouted, and the walls fell down flat. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, folks, God honors this kind of wonderful language of faith called praise. And he, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Get that heart filled up with gratitude. Amen. Enter his courts. Let it become verbalized and vocalized. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Oh, but let's come on before the throne of God. Come before his presence with singing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 81, 1 through 3. Sing aloud. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp and the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. Solemn feast day. Praising God with the trumpet. Psalm 71, 21 through 23. Thou shalt increase my greatness. Comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 92, 1 through 3, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're almost done with this. There's plenty more, but I'm trying to abbreviate just a little bit. Praise God. Psalm 95, 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Can you say amen? Psalm 98, 4 through 6. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice. Sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Psalm 144, 9, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Psalm 149, 2 through 4, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them sing praise. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're almost done. Psalm 152 through 6, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 16:24-26, whom having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and all the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Can you say, man? I said, everyone's bands were loosed. Glory be to God. Amen. Colossians 3:16-17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm going to read a testimony. You know when revival arrives? Because you have your song in your heart. And it won't just be because you're in the choir or part of the praise team or part of the dance troupe. Amen. I love to sing to the Lord, especially love to sing to the Lord in the shower, in the car, somewhere where I'm by myself. So if I sing off key, no one's going to turn my mic down. Sometimes I don't have it, and sometimes I'm overriding everybody else because I get excited. And please turn me down, because I'd rather you turn me down than just let me embarrass myself. But I want you to know who I'm never embarrassed. Yeah, they say we do. Amen. Listen. There's somebody that's never embarrassed when I sing. When I sing from my heart. Now listen, I ought not be part of the, I ought not override up here if I can't hit those notes, because it's going to make the whole thing sour and God isn't going to be glorified. So don't ever want to sing so bad that you're willing to ruin the praise service just so you can. Okay, is that fair enough? I'm willing to be the first one in line to admit that. But listen to me. When I sing to God, He loves it. As a matter of fact, we don't just sing over the Lord and to Him. The Bible said ancient covenant Israel. This intimate, personal God that we serve. It said that He would rejoice over them with singing. Now, us singing to God, we understand why we should be doing that. But God singing over us, God loving us and singing over us, God sitting upon His throne in heaven and singing a song of joy and praise over His people, that's incredible intimacy. I don't know about you, but I appreciate grace, because I don't deserve God to be so happy with me that He's singing over me. Can you say amen? But He sings over me. Why? Because, amen, I have the atonement has been offered. I have received the benefit and blessing of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I am accepted in the Beloved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that don't make me want to sin. It makes me want to live holy. Why would I want to betray, drag in the dirt, amen, such a wonderful relationship and privilege of knowing God, walking with Him, singing to Him, and have Him sing over me? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is a young lady's testimony. I thought it was a reason to know, I don't know what you've been redeemed from, but I know if you're a Christian, you've been redeemed. And I know your life changed. And I know that your life could have been so different if you hadn't come to Christ. Whatever your problems you are facing, you should go all the way back to the cross as the foundation for all of your rejoicing and joy. Because a lot of things may change in your life, but the cross stands. It doesn't change. Can you say amen? Little girl lived near a great church with a great cross on the top. And her dad told her, if you ever ever get separated from us, if you ever get lost, amen, look for that cross. Look for that church, amen, because we live just three doors down from there, amen. And one day it happened. She missed the bus, decided to try to walk home from elementary school, took a wrong turn, ended up 5 or 6 or 8 blocks in the wrong direction. Someone saw her crying. A nice lady picked her up, amen, and said, "Where do you live?" And she couldn't remember. She was so upset. She couldn't remember her address. But they just kept driving around and around and around and around. And finally she said, there, take me there. She saw, amen, a couple of blocks away that church, and she saw that cross on the top. And she said, "Take me to the cross and I can find my way home." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, we don't have to go on. Listen, church, we don't have to go on. There's nothing better. There's nothing bigger to rejoice over than the cross. Hallelujah. And the blood that was shed for you and me. If we would just get the joy of our salvation back and sing, not because of what happened yesterday, but what happened 2,000 years ago. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Paul said, "If I will glory, I will glory in the cross, whereby this world is crucified to me and I'm crucified to it." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This pastor told this wonderful true event in his life. He said, "I grew up about a young lady, Canada." She said, "I grew up in the Saskatchewan province of Canada. When I was 6, my dad began to give me beer to get me drunk so he could do things to me." She paused. She said, "Before I turned 8, he was providing me with marijuana to get me high so he could continue to do things unto me." She paused again, no longer able to hold back the tears. "I ran away when I was 11, but they found me. I really paid for that when they got me back home. The abuse didn't stop, and when I was 12 and 13, I attempted suicide several times." By the way, she took a lot longer to tell her story than I'm taking to tell you. She included details that I'm leaving out, and she was speaking through uncontrollable sobs. She said, "When I was 14, I ran away again. This time I made it across the line down to America. Eventually, I was picked up in Denver and brought here." This is a place for teenagers to come and find Christ and find help and find a safe place. She said, "That was just 13 days ago. She paused a long time. "And since then, I have found love for the very first time in my life. I'd never heard of Jesus before coming here." She pointed at the host mom and said, "They take care of me and are helping me be better. Just the other night, I became a Christian by asking Jesus to forgive me. And now I'm working on forgiving my dad." Somebody say, wow. Here was a girl whose life had been devastated. Yes, she grew up in a home with others, but she was lonelier than I've ever seen in my entire life. And here she was, a fragile little creature, completely lost in her pain, lost from love, lost from healing, lost from God. And all of that changed when she met Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Friend of mine, when we meet Jesus, so much has changed. If the church would get excited, not about something new and different, but about something tried and true. If we could just get back to the cross, Willie, we could find our way home. Can you say amen? Amen. When the cross isn't enough, we fail to appreciate it. When the cross isn't enough, we fail to appropriate it. Can you say amen? The cross is always supposed to be enough cause for rejoicing that it'll last us throughout all eternity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. They don't see what there is to get so excited about. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Can you say amen? Will you stand your feet, brother? Would you come? Number 8, I believe, on the disc that I gave you. Praise God. We're going to worship Him for just a few moments this morning. Father, I praise you. I honor you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song years ago that said, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you took me from and where I might have been. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This young lady found peace in the kingdom of God. She found love. She found restoration. She found joy. She found the capacity to want to forgive her daddy, who had so mistreated her that he's not worth being called a father. And yet, the forgiveness that had flowed to her melted her heart and took it from hardness to softness. Is there anything in your past you're looking back on that soured inside of you to keep you from the joy of Jesus? To keep you from knowing the joyful sound? Have you caught yourself in the middle of the day for no other reason than that you're saved? Singing with joy in your heart to the Lord. God honors that. Are you in a prison house of depression? I challenge you, not just to pray, but to sing praises, to seal your prayer with gratitude. Thank God that you have the privilege of coming before the throne of grace. Can you say amen? And what provided that privilege for you? Amen. The blood of Jesus on that cross. Hallelujah. Sing of His praises. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we praise you. We thank you. I want to be known as a man with that deep, settled peace within. Hallelujah. I want to be known as a man of joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want them to know that my God is the true and the living God. Hallelujah. And that He's faithful. And that He comes through. Hallelujah. Shows up. And He shows out. How many want to be part of the people who know the joyful sound today? Praise God. Let's give Him praise. Are you willing to praise Him in this song? Let's give Him praise today. Let's just worship with one song.